When you think of the places where food usually comes from and the sounds of farm life, you probably don't think of this. That's the parking lot security gate at Koken Manufacturing Company, just north of the City Museum in downtown St. Louis, where a group of downtown residents is leasing some open space on an industrial block to build downtown's first community garden. 100 years ago, the site was home to a 10-story building owned by Brown Shoe Company.
The first thing we did was conduct a soil test, and it's not the healthiest soil. It is borderline lead contamination.
Mary Ostafy is the founding chair of Urban Harvest STL, the nonprofit group in charge of the new garden.
We weren't really surprised whatsoever, but that's the situation in an urban garden, and you just have to be prepared for it.
On an overcast Saturday morning, four dedicated volunteers are doing just that. Preparing. They're busy landscaping the site to ready it for the construction of raised gardening beds. Come spring, the beds will be filled with donated compost and healthy soil for organic food production.
It's the sound of rich soil. Actually, it's the sound of urban soil.
Joe Ostafy, Mary's husband, is an architect. He designed the garden.
We are hitting debris, brick debris and glass and the other typical architectural accoutrements you might find in what is essentially a landfill.
Despite the soil challenge, the site is ideal for the garden because of its proximity to downtown's residential population, folks to work the garden and to enjoy its food. But it wasn't the first city space Urban Harvest STL considered. At first, they looked skyward, thinking maybe a rooftop might fit their needs. But a rooftop presents a set of challenges all its own, challenges that Amos Harris and Natalie Simtishin know well. A few blocks away, Harris and Simtishin have turned the roof of their 7-story condo building into a leafy oasis, tucked between air conditioning units and other rooftop fixtures. It started out pretty simply, just a few potted peppers.
So we had peppers on the roof our first year, and they didn't get pollinated. So we decided to get bees to pollinate the peppers, and then it just grew from there.
It wasn't easy, but a crane, a drip irrigation system, and 70,000 bees later, the couple's rooftop is thick with fruits and vegetables, everything from tomatoes and strawberries to potatoes and bok choy, all grown to varying degrees of success in what they call an extreme environment.
It gets really, really hot, really, really cold, and very windy, so it's tough for plants. You just have to plant and see what survives.
That sometimes frustrating question about what will survive and what will perish must be one of the most simultaneously basic yet mysterious parts about growing food anywhere, city or country.
When I plant something, I'm expecting it to die.
Meet Justin Lesh of Afton.
You know, I mean, I'm expecting that these chickens could get eaten by a raccoon tonight, you know, because it's happened to us before, and I spent, you know, months growing 20 chickens, and in one night, everything is done.
Justin and his wife, Danielle, have turned their small yard into Yellow Tree Farm. It's less than 1/10 of an acre, but they use their limited space to grow what Justin calls weird stuff. Because high volume isn't really an option, they're concentrating on heirloom varieties of vegetables and heritage breed animals, exciting and expensive food that has gotten the attention of some of the city's choosiest chefs. But this commercial success was hardly guaranteed, which was scary for Justin because for him, growing food is more than a hobby. It's his new job. 3 years ago, he traded a steady, lucrative career in car sales for the more uncertain life of an urban farmer. His journey started with a movie called Homegrown, about a California family that turned their yard into a working farm.
At the end of the movie, I looked at my wife and I said, "Can I do that?" And she said, "Sure." You know, she's like, "Whatever makes you happy." She wanted me to be happy, and I wasn't happy. You know, I mean, I woke up to go make money. You know, that's what it was about. And life isn't about that. You know, it shouldn't be about that.
All over the city, people like Justin are growing food. Some get paid for it, some get fed, and though the food they grow is certainly delicious reason enough for days and weeks of toil, heat, dirt, and the occasional disappointment, for many city farmers, it's about something else, too. For some, it's a political statement about where food comes from. For others, it's a spiritual way to be connected with the earth. And for others still, it's just fun. David Anderson has been making wine for 20 years. He grows his own grapes and is turning his Kirkwood yard into a vineyard.
you know, the vegetables or the grapes, the wine, I could buy cheaper someplace else or easier. But it's the satisfaction of getting out there. I love to get dirty and sweaty and do that type of work, and I get lost in the garden. Nothing else bothers me at that time.
Back at the Kokan manufacturing site and Urban Harvest STL, Mary Ostafy says that her organizational meetings have been at capacity and that the reasons people come are as diverse as the neighborhood itself.
Some people are experienced gardeners that don't have anywhere to currently grow their own food, so they're interested in having a venue to do that. Other people just want to get involved in something that's happening in the community and help, you know, build up our community and get to know neighbors that they otherwise wouldn't have the ability to do so. And then some people just want a place where they can be outside in nature. So creating a green space like this is going to help everybody.
For St. Louis Public Radio, I'm Libby Franklin.